It's Friday, and it's been quite a week here for the podcast. Saturday, Sunday, every day this week we've been back, and I'm not sure yet. We may do Saturday, we may do Sunday again. I'll keep you posted. I'm not making any commitments on that yet, but it's been an exciting week. A lot that we talked about, and I think a lot that we covered, there's been a lot going on. We've got an election coming up. In my opinion, you know, one of the most important elections that we faced in a long time. And I realize that that's overused, the get out the vote crowd and, you know, dig into your pockets and give your money to the political parties and wealthy people who need more money. You know, I'm not about any of that. I'm about America, what's best for our country, what's best for our communities, what's best for our children. Real simple. We don't need to make it any more complicated than that. You know, we just talk about things in practical terms and skip all the rhetoric, quite frankly. Did 6 years of that. And you know what? It doesn't do a whole lot at the end of the day. I find that it just becomes a self-perpetuating cycle. But that's a story in itself. As I step back and I look at everything going on right now, much of this is already known. Much of it's already been talked about to death, and some of it even by me. We got a real debt problem. People want to ignore it. They want to say it doesn't matter, but it does matter. If you even had a slight shift in demographic where there was a population reduction, the weight of this debt would be overwhelming. Either way, sooner or later, it's got to slow down. These are unsustainable levels that have been going on for like 8 or 10 years. And we've gotten to this 125%. You know, debt to GDP, and I don't think it's going to be allowed to go much higher. It just reaches the point of ridiculousness that you've debased the money so much. We'll see. Maybe they could go a little higher, but my feeling at the end of the day, this is the cause of all the illegal immigration that they needed to prop up the dollar, that they have to create economic growth somewhere, and it's the only way to do it right now to keep the scheme going. Sooner or later, it has to stop. Has to stop. There needs to be a new game plan. Somebody is going to have to, we're so far away from even dealing with that, it's not even funny. The border issue is truly a seismic kind of threat. I hate to use these ridiculous preconditions or whatever, to tell you how to think. You can make of it what you want, but I'm not the only one saying that. How do you look at this and say any of this is good, what's happening at the border? It's horrific, really, on a horrific magnitude on top of it. The military not doing well, the political sway and the division. And I don't think the division is real. I think you just have a government that's been hijacked, really, by not really even clear who it is right now, if it's even a unified effort. But whatever's going on in Washington, it really needs to be cut back heavily, the weight of it. Anyway, I think that's the short answer. All these problems have particular answers. I think Trump has a great plan to get us closer to that. I haven't looked over everything. I'm not going to. Maybe I will. I don't know. But Trump, in my opinion, is the only chance we have right now. And I don't like that. I don't like saying that. I think it's dangerous to say that. He's getting older. I wish there was some new talent, some fresh blood. But it just doesn't seem to be coming. I don't think that the age directly matters, this maturity, this ability to withstand and this and that. Look at what he's been through. I mean, you're going to get a 40-year-old that's going to be able to go through all that. Not going to be done the same way. They're going to be controlled by the establishment, just the way Barack Obama was, just the way he was, just a puppet for what we may never know. Whatever money was thrown his way, I guess, whether it was from the Middle East or it was from the Far East, it didn't matter to him, I don't think. Just whatever he could make a buck on. And Uncle Joe seems to be following the same path. You know, rags to riches, the White House path to financial freedom, I guess. You know, don't pass go, go right to the White House, Pennsylvania Avenue, right, with hotels. They seem to be doing just fine. Good for them. Anyway, I tried to use this week to paint a big picture, you know, step back a little bit and talk about the big picture a little bit more as I see it. But I wanted to finish the week with a couple of things on a slightly different, subject matter, I guess, but not completely, of course. And it's Friday, and for me, I need to lighten it up just for a couple of different reasons. One, I can't live my life angry. I don't know about you. And I don't like all the hostility, and I think it's beyond talking at this point. And I don't say that as a path to violence at all. You know, I don't support it. I've openly said that. I don't support any kind of civil war. Now, having said that, tax strikes, civil disobedience, I think might necessarily have to be the path. But I don't even think we're there yet. I really don't. Maybe getting close. Government, the door really seems to be closed. But I think that defunding the government, you know, setting up a new economic base, it's never going to happen. You're never going to, you know, me saying that, even let's just say somehow I was able to take that idea and convince some of you good people to say, follow along and support me and start chipping in money and advertising and putting together groups. I can tell you right now that the powers that be would step in and put a quick break. Here's how we're going to dismantle the government. You know, the minute that it started gaining any traction, they're going to step in, and then there's going to be a suicide or two, I'm going to guess. Something along that, depending on the level of success that it's having. I don't think we're there yet. I think things like Twitter and the ability to have a voice in that regard and some of these other, I'm not saying Twitter's the end all to be all of anything. I'm just saying that where things are becoming more transparent, I think there's hope there, and using that as a channel to bringing change, just simply speaking the truth and repeating it as often as possible. And I guess that's part of what I'm trying to do my part in. And it's a perfect segue into what I wanted to talk about, which is another big problem that we have in that regard. And that is this issue of transparency and the issue of the First Amendment and this crushing of individual rights to be heard. And I guess it's a little unique in that, you know, we didn't have a social media before we did. And so there wasn't any regulation on it. There wasn't any problems associated with it. Now it comes out that, you know, any Tom, Dick, and Harry from anywhere in the world can start saying, doing whatever. And then you come to find out if that's not enough, a quarter of them are bots. I called that as well. I'm like, these aren't real accounts. You could see it. They never had profile pictures. There was a pattern to the communication, the tactics. And I was right about all that. So here you are. You know, having your emotional heartstrings, as being dramatic for effect, pulled at for what? For their political gain, really. But anyway, the whole social media thing, you know how I feel about it. It's garbage. And I'm kind of being forced, I'm not forced to do anything. I shouldn't say that. But, putting some things back out there. We're still in the testing phases. We'll just wait and see what happens one step at a time, the way I see it. And we'll go from there. But otherwise, the First Amendment issue and people being able to speak, it goes way beyond the simple censoring of posts and access to information. It goes to people like me being completely shadow banned. And at this point, the platforms like YouTube have become virtually completely unfriendly to content like this. And I'll ask you, what's wrong with this content that I'm creating that I've become such a target? That the things that I'm saying are so radical. I was looking back at some of the headlines from some of the old podcasts. I definitely created those to be edgy, I guess. I don't consider myself some kind of a radical, for God's sake. I'm like boring common sense. You know, if I wanted to be like in the big boys crowd, I'd sit here giving you all the reasons why we're on the verge of civil war. I don't want it, but and I just don't talk like that. I don't think it's a good idea at all. Having seen a nation torn by war, I'm going to tell you we should do. And part of the reason why I speak so passionately about getting these things fixed, when you don't have a just system, and when I say to you, what do you think the result is going to be? Violence. I'm going to say to you, not because of me, in spite of me, that this is going to happen. And it's sad to me to see history repeating itself in that regard, especially where it's unnecessary. But this First Amendment issue goes way beyond simply posts being shadow banned. You're talking about people being completely deplatformed in some cases. And that didn't happen to me, fortunately, but virtually the same thing in many regards, the constantly changing rules of the game. And you know what's funny, by the way? I see more and more authors saying that they're not going on Amazon, that the way that Amazon has polluted the book marketplace and how they've treated authors, guys are saying now, not going to do that. I find that to be very, very interesting. You know, sooner or later, these things can't stand. It can't go on forever. And injustices will always come to light. And that's why I said I give great hope to things like Twitter. The fact that we can still speak on these podcasts is just a lot harder to get it out. And that becomes a challenge in a different way. And it's frustrating, especially when I see, you know, opposing ideas that get such a generous voice and funding, you know, where the Comcast funding, whoever it was, I shouldn't even say any names, you know, funding, non-straight white podcasts, basically. Yeah, thanks. Creators of color and of another feather. Anything but straight white males, we're not going to help you. I'm going to do the opposite. Yeah, it's a little frustrating. It's a little frustrating for me to serve my country, 17 years old, and, you know, I'm home, and this is how I get treated. It's kind of amazing, really. Is it fair? No, but I don't focus on that kind of thing. You know that. I focus on solutions. And that's what I was telling you on Sunday, some of the ways that we're getting the word out about these podcasts. You know, it's very creative, and I'm very proud. We'll see how it pans out. I don't like to pre-celebrate, but I have a good feeling about all this. I think we're going to be able to make it work. And when we do, it's going to become a template. You know, things like the car magnets that we're using, it's just something that anybody can do. I don't think people want bumper stickers today. They want magnets that they can take off. And I agree. I won't put a bumper sticker on at this point. Not likely. And so you put a magnet on there. It's just a better way to go. I'm trying to figure out how to ship them easily. But anyway, this First Amendment issue, it's tragic, really. It's a tragic time for America that we have some incredible voices that we're not allowing to be heard. Why? Because some machine or some room with a couple of people have determined whatever, that it's hateful or harmful or bad. And I don't know. It's not good. I know that. And it's not the way it's supposed to be. Is it going to change? Doesn't appear to be anytime soon, with the exception of you have alternate platforms and the pressure from that. So that's where I see hope. Gab, Twitter, Rumble, all seem to be doing very well. We're doing well there. No surprise. I'm happy about it too. If you haven't checked out the videos, you should go over there and check them out. I think I look great. Now today, I didn't put the video roll behind me today. I just went with the static picture. I'm not wearing my suit jacket. I'm wearing my sweat jacket. And I thought I'd go a little more casual Friday. Maybe that was a mistake. I should have trimmed up my beard a little better too, but you know, I'm no, what's his name? Don Lemon over here. I'm not as smooth as that cat. You know what I'm saying? I do my own thing. Anyway, I'm messing around. First Amendment, Second Amendment. Nobody seems to care about it anymore. Government gets to spend. Nobody seems to care about that. And we wonder why we have problems. This landscape is interesting now that I have a live radio show on Mondays here in Philadelphia, 8:60 a.m., Project Chaos. Heard me talk about it plenty. I've been very excited about it. It's done a lot for me, done a lot for the brand, if you will. And I think it's going to continue to do so. It's content that is timeless. We can continue to share this stuff forever, really, and continue to recycle it over and over again to get it in front of people. And I think we can do that in a low-cost way. The testing has kind of proved that, and the numbers continue to grow. It's interesting to me, though, seeing what's going on in talk radio, seeing what's going on in podcasts. And I got to tell you, I see both in big, big trouble. If I'm going to be completely honest with you about this, I see both with real, real struggles in front of them. The radio, for the most part, and this isn't completely true, you do have pockets that are doing really well. And I wish that some of the other areas that aren't would use that as a template for improvement, but you don't see much information sharing on that at all. Not that it's necessarily a big secret, but the radio just doesn't seem to be doing anything to help themselves as best I can tell. Quality of the content isn't there. I don't know. People just, they want on demand, and I think it's kind of the direction that things are going. So then you have the podcast front. And for some reason, I think that there was a lot of lying going on. I said this about social media, the videos, all of it. I'm like, these numbers are suspect to me. And they went back and they made adjustments just on everything. You see now, like Facebook, I'm like, well, what's the point of posting? Which is why I stopped doing it. Ultimately, I couldn't even justify it for the Christopher Scott Show. Like, three people are seeing my post. I put a post on Gab, 500 people will see it. Another post, 1,500 will see it. Now that's traction. Put a post up giving away these little P38 can openers, and 10 people signed up for it. That's a great day for, you know, that's what social media, you know, if you can do that as a business or whatever you want to call it, it's beneficial to be able to do that. That Facebook, like, what's the benefit of doing that? None. Zero. Nothing at all. So, I don't know. I see both as being difficult paths right now. The podcast, as the numbers have been adjusted and the reality has settled in, they're just not what they are. And then nobody really understands now how to grow an audience. And so we have a way for that particular podcast that I think is going to work. And that way is not going to work for every podcast. I think the magnets could work for any business, really. But we just got creative and trying to figure it out. It's not a success yet, but the early tests are going well. And if we can grow that veteran military audience, it would be exciting to see that happen. Something I haven't done in a while, what happened on this day in history. It wasn't so much this day in history that I want to talk about, actually, but it was in the month of March at the different times in history. And there's two that I wanted to mention in particular. The first is the integration of females into the Marine Corps. And my mother was a female Marine. She would have been very proud of this legacy, but that occurred in March, however many years ago. And the second thing that occurred in March was a second attack on Iwo Jima after the end of the fighting had been declared. The Japanese launched a surprise attack. It was brutal fighting. About 300 Japanese attacked, 100 Americans killed, 200 wounded in that fighting. And that was all done after end of the fighting had been declared. So everybody at home is celebrating. Everybody at home is thinking everything's over. These guys were over there getting slaughtered like animals. Just fighting that was ruthless, really. Fighting with the Japanese. And I don't think people realize the full history of that and how ruthless it really was. The toll that that took on those guys that were there was unbelievable. So one of the things I like to talk about, as you know, is habits, because what is the saying? You reap what you sow. And what do I say? You know, you can largely predict your future by how you spend your money and how you spend your time today. All right. If you're sitting around watching TV, blowing money on DoorDash and whatnot, and not really paying attention to things, well, I can probably predict for you where that's going to end up. Not really real hard to do that. On the other hand, if you're taking care of business, taking care of yourself, and investing in key areas, it's pretty simple, really. You can largely predict where that's going to go. It's going to go a whole different direction. And you know, what are those basic things? Getting outside, getting enough water, keeping yourself in a reasonable physical condition, being able to push yourself physically at least once in a while. These are all things that other people talk about too. Eating, I talked about this 80-20 at least. That's just my method. I mean, if you want to eat better, eat 100% clean and healthy, I'm all for it. For me, I try to go 80-20. It just works a little better for me at this point in my life. But whether it's your food, your time, what you're listening to, what you're exposing yourself to, I would consider all that stuff. And I'm not saying not to have any vices, not to have any enjoyment. I have plenty of both, but I try to make those same things fit into what it is that I want for my overall self, right? So my ideas of fun or archery and bicycling out on my electric bike. And, you know, sometimes when I don't feel like doing all that, it's a fire out back. And, you know, sometimes that'll include a few beers. Sometimes it'll be in the morning for breakfast. Some of my favorite times are those morning fires. You know, everybody wants to have a fire at night, but I say there's a lot of enjoyment. We'll go get breakfast takeout, some big sandwiches and potatoes and pancakes, and get a good fire going and get the dogs out there and just hang outside for the morning. And I got to tell you, it's healthy. Getting that fresh air, getting that outside time in the morning, everybody out there together, the family, the dogs. It's a good thing, and we enjoy doing that. So I do live my life in cycles, and I've talked about that, but I'm just suggesting to you, you know, look at what you're doing. You're eating a bowl of ice cream every night. You're throwing down two packs of beer every night. Well, like I said, maybe you want to go the 80-20 route. You say, Chris, I enjoy that. I don't want to do without it, or the donut in the morning, or whatever the case is. Well, maybe you cut it back. That's all. You know, you say, hey, I'll do it twice a week or something like that. You'll figure it out, and you got to do what's best for you. And I'm not going to live your life for you, but I would just be careful with those things. And, you know, the 800 calorie donut every day, it's going to take its toll for sure. And you got to try and balance it out one way or the other, whatever the case might be. And those basics, like I said, staying outside, keeping moving, biking, hiking, running, playing a sport, archery, horseshoes, whatever you want to do. You know, naturally, you know, playing horseshoes isn't the best workout. Archery, it's not a big workout, but you're outside, you're getting some movement. I'll tell you what, it's a lot better than sitting around on the sofa. And I would highly recommend it. And that's what I say about looking at your habits. You know, where are you investing your time and money? Your family, the same thing. You know, what does that picture look like? Speaking of which, I was talking about barbecuing the other day and getting my grill cleaned up, and I'm looking forward to doing that as well. One of I've cooked so many things on a grill, and maybe you have too, but one of my favorites anymore is, you know, besides the standard stuff, which for me is typically steak or burgers. My wife and daughter, they like hot dogs. They'll do chicken. My wife likes all this barbecue, some kind of special sauce smothered all over it. Destroys the grill. It's one of the reasons why it needs a serious cleaning. But, you know, we enjoy doing that. I would do ribs and things like that and get a little more creative. But the girls don't eat that stuff, so it's not something I usually do myself. We keep it a little more simple these days. I haven't done a brisket or anything. I've never done a brisket. I've done like a rib roast, things like that. But anyway, what I wanted to mention, one of my favorites, is just throwing shrimp on there, peeled, uncooked shrimp. They can actually be cooked too, but uncooked I think is best. Get the biggest ones you can because they'll reduce in size. And just throw salt and pepper on them, man, and put those on the grill. I'm telling you, you can put them on a skewer if you want, so not falling through the grate and whatnot. It wouldn't be a bad idea if you get like a metal skewer and run it through there. They might even cook a little better. You could flip them around a little bit. But I'm telling you, there's something about those warm shrimp. You dip that in a little cocktail sauce. Doo-wee doggy. Good stuff. One of my other favorites is to take the corn on the cob and leave it in the husk and put it in a deep pan, right? Fill it with water and cover it. Put a towel over it and let the towel be soaking wet and let that simmer. Let that water boil in there and let that corn just steam from the inside with the husk on. I guarantee you that corn comes off so sweet and so tasty. When you go to husk it, you got to do it like in a bucket of water though, because otherwise it's going to be too hot. And you'll see, you get the most piping hot corn you can off of there. And we'll be getting the gardening going soon. I'll keep you posted on it. Like I said earlier in the week, I'm planning on going mainly to like planter bag setup. I think is going to be the best thing for us right now. And I'm really looking forward to it. And I think it's going to be a good season for us. I'll leave you with this. Like I said, I'm not sure when I'm going to be back. We're coming up on the holiday here. We're not doing anything too fancy. I think we're having some friends over for dinner. We'll be looking forward to that. On the radio show on Monday, I have a great guest coming on, John Podlaski. I interviewed this guy. He wrote a book called Cherries. I'm looking forward to having him on the radio. But the last thing I wanted to mention to you, I will be speaking at the VFW in Red Hill. Should be quite an event there. And I'm really looking forward to it. I can't tell you. I've been getting myself ready for this. I think I'm ready to go. I think it's going to be a great crowd. And I'm really excited about telling a little bit about the story there and getting in front of these people. And it should be really high energy. We're going to get video of it, so we'll see. Hopefully it's suitable quality. I'll be able to share it out. I don't embarrass myself. Wish me luck. Hopefully my zipper's not down or something like that. So I don't know when I'll be back yet. It's going to depend on the schedule here as we move through the next hours leading up to this event. And I'm looking forward to celebrating a little bit after. This is really a big moment for me. I mentioned this. Not that I haven't done any speaking before, because I have. But this is like the first time it's like my event, and if you will. And I don't know if that's the best way to say it. It's really a VFW event. I'm tagging along. But the people are coming to see me. I'm going to bring the crowd out, and we'll see just what kind of crowd we get. But it's going to be good for my career in broadcasting and where I'm hoping to take all this. So it's been a long time coming, something I've worked really hard on. And I couldn't think of a better opportunity, really, than to do this at the VFW, at this location, with the particular people that are going to be there, with the support that I've had. It's really overwhelming in some ways, the excitement behind it. And I have such a good feeling about it. Like, I'm not nervous. I'm sure I'll be a little nervous as the hours get a little closer there, but I think the energy is great, and I know what I'm gonna say, so it makes it pretty easy. I've done it plenty of times before. There's no secrets in that, so I'm just gonna be putting it all together and staying on my feet and keeping the energy in the right direction. So it seems like everything's falling perfectly into place, and I have high expectations. So I'll be anxious to report on the other side, God willing. I'll see you then. Make it a great day.